put on Pakistan just to lay the case. Pakistan, following a military coup on the 12th of October 1992, declared a state of emergency. The General Pervez Musharraf suspended the Pakistan Constitution and assumed the additional title of Chief Executive. There he exercised the power of the head of the government. He appointed an 8-member national council to function as Pakistan's supreme governing body. What does that have to do with anything? Well, he came to power via a military coup. And while the United States has always held the position they will not deal with military takeovers, we have such a situation and such a rough climate in Pakistan that we must go to our guest for clarification.
That's right. We're going to go inside Pakistan and speak with Mr. Imran Anwar. He's a Pakistani entrepreneur, and journalist, writer, and internet pioneer. And he has a critical analysis of the country caught between a rock and a hard place. Good morning, Mr. Anwar. How are you today?
Good morning, Sabrina.
It is great to have you with us. So we are looking at a rock and a hard place. The rock being one, that the population is almost totally Muslim, half of them from Afghanistan. The populace does not want the battle. The military head has taken the position to support the United States. Clarify this whole situation for our listeners.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Let me step back a little bit. Pakistan's population is about 140 million people. Mm-hmm. And that's in a country slightly larger than California, let's say. So that gives you an idea of how concentrated it is.
Mm-hmm.
There are four provinces there. The Pashtun province, which is called the Northwest Frontier Province, is actually not a majority of the population. It's, let's say, about 10% of the population. The people who live in the northwest of the country are the same tribe as the people who live in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means is that these are people who have lived the tribal way of life from before Pakistan came into existence and even when the British Empire was still existent. And they do not believe in any local laws of governments, etc. They have their own tribal system. That is why even before all this happened, the government of Pakistan basically had a live and let live attitude towards them, because you really cannot control these people. The Russians were defeated by them. The British were defeated three times by them in mm-hmm. the past. Now, if it were just the number of Pathans or Pashtuns in Pakistan and the 2 million Afghan refugees living in Pakistan, that would still be a manageable issue. What makes Pakistan really caught in a difficult situation is that Pakistan has been a U.S. ally, and most of your listeners might not know that, or many of them might have forgotten, that the U-2 spy plane flights in 1950s used to take off from Pakistan mm-hmm. and fly over Russia. In the 60s, we stood by you when the U.S. imposed a military dictator there. In the 70s, when Pakistan went to war with India, even though it had a defense treaty with the U.S., the U.S. said, we're coming, but nobody showed up, and Pakistan was broken into two mm-hmm. with Bangladesh creation. In the 80s, again, a martial law was imposed upon us with the U.S. backing, in this case, to help fight the Russians, because at that time, they were the bigger evil empire.
Mm.
In the 90s, once again, we were dumped, as was Afghanistan. Once they had been used to get the Russians out of there, they were left to their own devices, which caused 20 years of civil war there, basically, people fighting each other for control. And now in 2001, we see we need Pakistan again. So the problem there is that the same people who used to wear American flag T-shirts and shirts or have the American flag painted on their trucks and 18-wheelers, for example, are now the ones who are taking processions. And basically not saying we hate America, but how can we stand by somebody who has used and abused us for the last 40, 50 years? Now we're going to be used again, especially in this case now, mm-hmm. to bomb the very people that we, with the help of the CIA and with American money, trained to fight the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
So you were calling them freedom fighters, is what they say. And now that they are turning against your interests, you're calling them terrorists.
1600 WWRL, we're speaking with Mr. Imran Anwar, Pakistani entrepreneur, journalist, writer, and internet pioneer.
Mr. Anwar, could you comment on the story in the New York Times today where they said that American delegation is asking the Pakistani government to install safeguards regarding their nuclear plants?
Well, that's a valid concern, because in the past, when General Pervez Musharraf, who is the unelected dictator who took over power illegally in Pakistan, And that's something I would also like to remind you, is that the Army really controls the defense installations in the country. So when the Army takes over, they stay united, basically. And I have been vehemently opposed to martial law governments in Pakistan, whether they were the U.S.-backed, as always, or in this case, independent. The problem is that in this case, he is really on walking a very fine line here. It's a tightrope act, and the problem is that not only does he have the Pashtun population in the northwest of the country, that's where our nuclear facilities also happen to be. Mm-hmm. Not exactly in that region, but physically around that area.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, the bigger risk here is that if he gives too much into American pressure, which he is having to do a little bit, obviously, because, as they say, what America wants, America gets. And in this case, because America is right, because America was attacked, so America obviously is feeling stronger about this issue than anything else. But nobody's talking about the root causes. The problem with that is that General Musharraf, who was unelected in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and internally from within Pakistan, is from a minority, basically. So there is a risk that some of the other generals may say, listen, we've been used enough, and we will not let this happen anymore.
Now, as a Pakistani yourself, Mr. Anwar, let's just deal briefly with the little time we have with two quick issues. One, the fracture in the nation, exactly to what extent is the fracture? And in conclusion, how is the Pakistani government going to have a good relationship with their neighbors with against the background you just painted, which is one of, here is another bribe, change your position?
Excellent questions. Number one, the thing with Pakistan basically is that it has no choice but to work with the United States, but it cannot go too far overboard, because otherwise even the reasonable opponents of the war may take matters into their own hands. That will be not a good thing for anybody. And as far as the United States is concerned, I mean, friends are the American culture. You're an American, I'm an American. Americans are loyal people. Americans are just people. Americans are fair people. American policy is exactly the opposite of that in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, and in many other parts of the world. The unfortunately, the victims, the innocent people, the civilians who were murdered in the World Trade Center
mm-hmm.
paid the price for our ugly policies abroad. Hopefully, their lives were not lost in vain, and their sacrifice will be used to say, let us reevaluate what the American government does that I, as an American, would not stand for.
Okay, so we've been joined by Mr. Imran Anwar. Great information. He's a Pakistani entrepreneur and journalist. Thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm.